FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. It's the last day of July 2018. My, how time flies when you're doing what you love. And as always, urge you, be a part of the show, get involved, participate, send an email to kl@carrielutz.com. We answer all, and if it's really interesting and stimulating of your host, then we will actually read it on air. And hey, again, kl@carrielutz.com. So Obamacare, I thought it had died and gone to purgatory because hell is not good enough for it, but evidently it's still alive and kicking and wreaking havoc upon you and myself and most of the country. And how can that be? And is it true what the Democrats say, that it's really Trump's fault? Well, everything else is Trump's fault, so why not Obamacare? The person you're about to hear from, been on the show before, name is Sally C. Pipes. Sally, you're president, chief executive officer of the Pacific Research Institute, located in the once glorious city of San Francisco. We can talk about the decline another time, but Sally, have loads of experience in healthcare policy, and hey, you've been around here. Author of the book The Cure for Obamacare, which we talked about. And the new book is The False Promise of Single-Payer Healthcare. Hey, welcome back to the show.
Well, Carrie, thank you so much for having me. And certainly, you know, healthcare is in the forefront of all discussions these days.
Yeah, well, I switched to medical cost sharing through an outfit called Liberty Health Share. And so far, I've been dealing with them for years. They've been great. I pay a whopping $250 a month, specifically exempted by Obamacare. This isn't an ad for them, although they've been a sponsor in the past and they're going to be one in the future. But there are options. But getting back to Obamacare, so we saw one thing the Republican Congress accomplished was actually basically doing away with the individual mandate, which said you must buy health care insurance or you will be paying penalties. According to the Supreme Court, it was a tax, but we all know it was a penalty for not having health insurance. So is that progress, or where are we at now in this mess?
Well, as you know, Obamacare became law on March 23rd, 2010. The Republicans ran in 2016, both for the House, for the Senate, and the presidency, on repeal and replace of Obamacare. President Trump won. The Republicans took control of the House and the Senate. But unfortunately, last fall, Obamacare was not repealed. It died in the Senate. But we've seen a few interesting things happening. First of all, I mean, at the peak, there were only 12 million Americans out of 330 million who actually bought exchange coverage. And premiums have been extremely high. Deductibles are so high that many people can't use it. Small networks of doctors and hospitals. But the interesting things, while it's still the law of the land, the individual mandate was repealed as part of the tax bill last December, and that goes into effect January 1st, 2019. We have two rules that are about to be adopted. One is the rule that short-term insurance plans could be purchased for 1 year instead of the 3 months that they were reduced to under Obamacare. And there are no essential health benefits as part of the short-term plans. These will be very good for young people, people who are between jobs, people that don't want to spend a fortune on healthcare that doesn't work for them because they're well and healthy. And the second rule is the rule to expand association health plans, which, you know, would go into effect on September 1st if the rule moves forward. And that would allow, for the first time, sole proprietorships to band together to form a large pool for purchasing insurance, and also allowing more small businesses to group together, because in many cases, small business can't afford to buy health coverage under the SHOP plan under Obamacare. So all three of those things are very very encouraging. The more worrying thing, Carrie, is that single-payer Medicare for all is, you know, the top issue in the media these days, with the rise of Bernie Sanders and his Medicare for all. And then his protege, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, defeating 10-term Democrat Joe Crowley in the 14th District in New York. And she has become the darling of the mainstream media for even more socialized healthcare than Bernie Sanders has talked about.
Does anybody take this person? If you haven't been watching, her name is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she's from some kind of backwater district in Queens, which is one of the boroughs of New York City, one of the five boroughs. And she seems to not have a substantive thought in her head, or am I being too hard on her?
Well, I mean, I guess the issue is there's a lot of discussion around who she is. She's certainly a member of the Democratic Socialists of America, which is this extreme left-wing side of the Democratic Party. She is pushing Bernie Sanders' M4A single-payer healthcare system. Neither one of them has discussed how much this plan would cost and how it would be paid for, but the Urban Institute, not a conservative think tank, costed out Bernie's 2016 single-payer plan at $32 trillion over 10 years. The Mercatus Center just came out yesterday on his latest Medicare for All bill, saying $32.6 trillion over 10 years after any savings had been got by reduced administrative costs and reduced drug prices. But still, it would add 11% to GDP in the first year, 12.7%. This would start 2022 to 2031. So I think neither of them has come to the point of saying what these programs will cost. They're absolutely out of control. They're not affordable. Taxes would have to increase significantly. And in fact, on the Mercatus study, they said that corporate taxes and income taxes, even if they were doubled, would not cover the cost of this plan.
So they want to basically repeal the tax cuts that were implemented last year by Congress and President Trump, which have been shown, at least initially, to be increasing GDP activity, increasing economic activity. They're going to get rid of them, and then they're going to, like, I don't even know what their tax rates are going to be, but basically you'll be working for Medicare is what it comes down to.
Right. And Carrie, you know, I mean, they never talk about, you know, what this also means for patients, because I'm Canadian. I grew up under single payer healthcare where no private insurance is allowed. And today, the average wait from seeing a primary care doctor in Canada to treatment by a specialist is 21.2 weeks. That's over 5 months. Care is rationed. And the Fraser Institute just came out today with their number of what the hidden tax bill for Canadians who have to be on these waiting lists is, and it is not free. Canadians pay hidden taxes today of $13,000 a year for health care where you're on a waiting list. So long waiting lists, ration care, high taxes, and this plan that Bernie is talking about, $32 trillion over 10 years, this, no government program ever costs what government forecast that it will. And look at Medicare, 53 years old today.
Yeah, total failure. And it's in the trillions of dollars and with no end in sight. So obviously something needs to be done. Hey, one thing you didn't mention, President Trump's threatening not to do the insurance company bailouts, which was basically feeding illegal subsidies to the insurance companies for their Obamacare policies to keep them afloat. If he doesn't do this, which he says he's not going to this time, what's going to happen?
Right. Those are the cost sharing reduction subsidies. And the value is about $7 billion a year to insurers. And he said he wasn't going to do it. The funds were never appropriated by Congress for these cost sharing reduction subsidies to help people who, you know, were lower income that used more health coverage than their coverage paid for. And I'm hoping that he keeps his word on this, because, as I say, the funds weren't appropriated from Congress. They were part of Obamacare, but they had to be appropriated. And so, the premiums for Obamacare coverage for 2019, the exchanges open November 1st to December 15th. They're probably going to be up on average about 15% for next year. But people aren't buying this coverage. The only people that are buying exchange coverage in the individual market are people who have serious healthcare conditions. The young people did not buy in at the 40% rate that the administration under Obama had predicted. They only bought it in at, say, 27%, and therefore premiums have to be higher to cover these people who are older and sicker. But the CSRs should not be paid out to insurance companies.
Agreed. Now, explain something to me, Sally. I live in Florida here. I had a Florida Blue, which is Blue Cross policy. I had the best one. It was platinum. It was expensive. It was $850 a month, but this was 5 years ago. The best coverage of any plan I had had in probably 15 years. And now that policy, or a similar policy, is $2,500 per month, which means the cost tripled. And I just can't get an explanation of why my non-Obamacare policy has tripled. What are they doing that is so much better that deserves to be triple the price?
Well, I guess one of the things is that, you know, the premiums have gone up significantly to cover those people who are free riding off the system, or who are using healthcare at a much greater rate than their subsidy or their insurance is paying for. So that has pushed up the cost. Second, under Obamacare, there are so many essential health benefits, the 10 essential health benefits, probably many things that you don't want, like maternity care, children's dental. You don't want to have to pay for those things, but you have to under the plans. And so it makes the plans even more expensive. And because people don't like the exchange plans, so few people have actually enrolled. And so people like you are bearing the burden of these cost increases. And there are only about 6 million people who are in the individual market, the non-exchange market. It has declined significantly because we need competition in healthcare. You may want a PPO, you may want an HMO, you may want fee-for-service, but because of all the regulations and mandates, it's very difficult, you know, for the market does not operate in healthcare, and we need to bring about more competition in healthcare, because then there will be different types of plans, different prices, fewer mandates. If I want a plan, you know, with alcohol rehabilitation, I should be able to get it, but you shouldn't have to pay for what I want. And so, you know, we don't have a free market in healthcare in America. 50% of it is in the hands of government through Medicare, which today celebrates its 53rd birthday, and Part A will be bankrupt, according to the Congressional Budget Office, by 2026. I mean, this program that was estimated to cost $12 billion in 1991 actually cost $110 billion. So, you know, we have, you know, so many things going on. We have Medicare, we have Medicaid, the program that expanded under Obamacare. 34 states expanded their Medicaid programs, increased use in emergency rooms under the Medicaid expansion because these people cannot find doctors because they're reimbursed at such low rates. We have the CHIP program for children, and we have the VA, which is a true single-payer system, which really has not served our vets well. There are long waiting lists, people dying because they can't get care. And so this is not the kind of plan that we want for the American people. We want the American people to have choices in the type of healthcare that they want.
That makes total sense. So how do we truly bring down the cost of healthcare insurance?
Well, one of the ways is to get rid of all these mandates. In addition to the 10 essential health mandates under Obamacare, each state has 45 to 50 mandates, which add 20 to 50% to the cost of coverage. And so we need to get rid of those so that people can, you know, so more insurance companies will come into the market, offer different types of plans, like the short-term plans under the rule that should become law shortly, association health plans, so people can group together, get a larger pool. That will bring the cost down. And last, you know, the doctors practice defensive medicine because they're afraid of being sued. Medical malpractice is a huge industry in this country. And according to PricewaterhouseCoopers, it costs about $210 billion a year. If we cap punitive and non-economic damages at $500,000, the cost of this defensive medicine would come down. And therefore, that would also help to bring down the price of health care.
So what about the people with pre-existing conditions? I mean, that really is right. Ostensibly the rationale for doing Obamacare and any other type of healthcare reform. And yet there is no way to profitably care for those with pre-existing conditions, especially serious chronic conditions.
Right. So the real issue is the people that have serious chronic conditions. Sort of lesser things are not really a problem. But the fact is there are about 6 million people in this country out of 330 million who do have chronic pre-existing conditions, and they're not in the employer-based market, so they have a hard time getting coverage, or if they can't, affording it. So my plan was, and Dr. Tom Price, when he was in the House, and Paul Ryan, we all agreed the way to deal with those people who have pre-existing conditions is to have the federal government give subsidies to the states, so that enough of a subsidy so that they could set up high-risk pools, so that this small group of people could purchase coverage at a rate that they could afford. And it takes the pressure off the younger and healthier people having to subsidize all of these people. So state-run high-risk pools that work is the answer to cover this small population of people who cannot afford or get coverage.
Yeah, I see. It makes sense. And this has been the downfall of Obamacare too, hasn't it?
Right, exactly, and that's why the premiums are so high, and the young people didn't sign up. They paid that individual mandate a penalty, which you talked about in the introduction. That if you didn't have insurance, you had to pay $695 or 2.5% of your income, whichever is greater. If you couldn't show on your tax return that you had coverage, but so many young people paid that because it was so much cheaper than paying $250 to $300 a month for a plan that they probably wouldn't get sick. And if they did, it probably wouldn't be a great plan.
Hey, really interesting and really astounding what we're up against here. And hey, you got to take a look at the book. It's called The False Promise of Single-Payer Healthcare by Sally C. Pipes, and recommended reading because important issue that's facing us now. Many of you out there believe that the federal government is not approaching this issue properly and with adequate concern for the free market. Perhaps that's so. Hey, Sally, we want to find out more about you, more about your work, and get the book. Where do we go?
The book is available on Amazon.com, The False Promise of Single-Payer Healthcare. And our website is www.pacificresearch.org. And you can see all of my biweekly columns for Forbes, Investors Business Daily, and the Washington Examiner confidential blog post.
All right. And we'll have a link to your site. And don't forget, take a look at Financial Survival Network. Sign up for a newsletter. Hey, send me an email if there's anything of interest or you want to discuss, kl@carrielutz.com. The Twitter feed's @CarrieLutz and the Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Sally, thanks so much for coming back on, and keep up the fight. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Carrie, so much. Take care.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.